Melissa Lockhart joins us from The Athletic. Melissa, just an expert on the minor leagues and some of the younger players of both the A's and the Giants. Melissa, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Exciting day of baseball today. Exciting for the A's. They still have something to play for as well, and they got to get the bats going. And, of course, the Giants must win today to stay alive.
Yeah, you know, it's been a weird season. I think it's been a lot more draining than you would expect 60 games to be on players and probably even fans, you know, following it along. So I think it's great that we have this last day of drama to really get us ready for the postseason.
Hi, Melissa. Bill Lasky here joining you and Marty this morning. I kind of want to touch a little bit about the Oakland A's and Jesus Luzardo. What have you seen in him, and how confident are the Oakland A's in putting him in one of those starting positions as they go into the playoffs?
Well, you know, from the very beginning, he's really struck everybody as just being kind of mature beyond his age. You know, he was right from high school to professional ball, had to rehab right away because he was coming off Tommy John surgery. And he's just sort of handled everything with a professionalism that you wouldn't expect from a younger player. And they threw him right into the fire last September, and he closed out some of the most important games that they had down the stretch in September last year, pitched in the wild card game. And this year, you know, he's gone through some growing pains, as you'd expect, but when he's been good, he's been really, really good. And I think they feel, you know, strong about him being able to go out there and put a good game together.
Melissa, let's follow up on Bill's question a little bit. For young players with the A's, I know they've been using the IL lately. They've got some injuries. What young players should we expect to actually contribute for the A's? Because there's a lot of pressure on the A's to make it through a World Series or to win a series this offseason.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think most of the team has played in the postseason, even the young players, which I think is unusual. But given the way everything broke down last year, even their rookies kind of got involved in that wild card. And, you know, hopefully that's experience that really can help them with this. But you're right. I mean, I think year after year, there's talk about can they win even a series in the postseason. And that probably wears on guys a little bit, especially the ones that have been around the organization a long time. I think Sean Murphy, the, you know, rookie catcher, is going to be a real key for the A's in terms of not just how he handles the pitching staff, but also he's been one of their better hitters down the stretch. And like Luzardo, he's another one of these guys who's mature beyond the experience that you would expect from a rookie.
Melissa, I'm sticking with pitching here, and I'm going to go to the National League a little bit, and I'm going to go right to that Dodger team with Tony Gonsolin and Dustin May, both as starters. Do you see both of these guys being a big part of the rotation as the Dodgers try to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Dodgers can do almost anything they want. It's kind of an amazing array of talent there. You know, they can use guys like May and Gonsolin in shorter starts if they want to, and they can double up, or they can try to see how much length they can get out of them. I think the quality of arms that they can send out there from both their rotation and their bullpen gives them some flexibility. And in a short series, you know, they may not have to go as traditional as you'd expect. I think once the series start to get to a more traditional length of, you know, 5 or 7 games, that maybe that changes. But, you know, obviously Clayton Kershaw is the guy that anchors everything, and Walker Buehler is a guy that is, assuming the blister's fine, you know, is going to be another big ace. But, yeah, I mean, you know, May is throwing off-speed pitches at 95 miles per hour.
Yeah.
I don't know how you really even defend yourself against something like that.
Mm-hmm. What the heck happened to Gavin Lux?
You know, I think it's hard enough to come off of a hyped kind of rookie start. Anyway, you sort of see that I look back at like Greg Jeffries, you know, back in the day with the Mets and how hard it was to come back from that. But then you come back in a situation where you're only playing in that alternate site and you don't get a chance to really get going. I think for him, he's just going to have to wash this season away and start over next year. And I still think he'll be a very good regular.
Melissa, touching a little bit about this Giants bullpen and all these young arms that really have been thrown into the fire this year. When you look at Rogers, Selman, you could go on and on. What was some of the guys that you thought really, really took off when they really didn't even have an opportunity when they went to spring training?
Yeah, I mean, I think Caleb Berger, you know, here's a guy who, I mean, at the start of last year is I think, in San Jose and coming off some injuries and certainly was never one of those guys that you talked about as one of the top prospects in the system. And he took advantage of every opportunity that he got last season. opened a lot of eyes, added a little velocity, worked really hard when, you know, the spring training was shut down and kind of came into this bubble situation and showed what he could do. And now, I mean, I think you go into next season, he's a big leaguer, you know, and I think that's a huge step forward for him. And I think it'll be really valuable to have someone, a lefty like that, who can, you know, start and relieve as they move forward. I mean, he's not a top of a rotation guy or maybe even a closer, but he's just one of those valuable arms that can do a lot of things for you.
So Sacramento is closed down, the alternate training site, I would imagine. Where does everybody go now? Because there's no fall league. What happens?
Yeah, so they are planning instructional league, and Kyle Haynes is still working on finalizing all those details. I actually heard from Ed Sprague, the A's farm director, that he had heard the Giants were sending, you know, two teams worth of players to their instructional league. So that would be about 60 players or so. The A's are officially opening today is their report date for their instructional league in Arizona. They're going to have 46 players down there for theirs. And they're going to all try to play 20 to 30 games as much as possible against the other instructional league teams that are in the desert and get as many of those players that probably would have been in that sort of high A to double A level that are, you know, sort of prospects that they hope to really jump into important roles within the system next year, as much work as possible. So it'll be a little different than a traditional instructional league. I think a little less focus on teaching and a little more focus on let's actually get some games played. But it'll still be a good step towards hopefully, you know, rescuing some of this development season.
Melissa, Rookie of the Year honors, National League and American League. Do you think Jake Cronenworth pulls it in? He's number one in a lot of categories. But the Rookie in American League, kind of between Lewis Robert and Kyle Lewis, your thoughts on both of these?
Yeah, you know, I think it's tough. I mean, I think Kyle Lewis is just so fun. I mean, they're both just such fun players to watch. I think Lewis's story and everything that he overcame with that horrible knee injury right after he was drafted and coming back into it. I know it shouldn't matter for something like this, but it kind of does. And I just loved seeing what he's been able to do this season. I don't have a vote in that category, but if I did, and although I've seen him so much this year, it's also going to be a difficult year to vote, I think, frankly, because so many of the beat writers that, normally get a chance to see the whole league have only seen their kind of region on a day-to-day basis. So from what I've seen from Kyle Lewis, I think, you know, he's my Rookie of the Year, but, Lewis Robert's going to be a very, very good player for a long time as well.
Boy, Melissa Lockhart with us. Always a pleasure from The Athletic. Last question for me. Joey Bart, how do you evaluate his season?
You know, it's a learning experience. And I think people need to remember, too, that it's not only hard to be a rookie, it's hard to be a rookie catcher. And he's a guy who's coming in and having to deal with learning a lot on the fly. He's got a lot of expectations. There were things he was still working on, and they brought him up because they needed him. And, you know, in an ideal world, he would have had a longer time to work on some of those things. I think he's going to learn a lot from this. He's a smart guy. He works hard. Maybe he needs a little bit more time in AAA if there's a normal season next year. But I don't think that is an indictment on his overall career path. I think it's not an easy adjustment for any player, especially in a strange season like this one.
Well, we're going to see a lot of young players over the month of October, I'll tell you that. Without off days, the pitching staffs are going to be taxed. This is going to be a little different. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think until we really get into it, it's going to be hard to know. But you're right. I mean, we're looking at full staffs for, say, a best-of-five series as opposed to your normal. Like we're only going to use our top two or three pitchers in a series like that. And then you get to the seven-game series, and you're probably looking at the first series that might actually involve middle relievers, which I think is interesting. And, you know, in some ways, it might be more reflective of who the best team is as opposed to the best postseason team, because you tend to see that, you know, the team that's built best for the marathon of 162 games isn't always the team that comes out in the top in postseason, because some of those middle players that were stronger on the marathon type teams don't become important in a postseason series where you only need, you know, your top four or five pitchers or whatever. So it'll be definitely very different. I think, though, you know, looking at just the overall depth of a team like the Dodgers or in the American League, the Rays, I think those are probably the favorites as you start out into this tournament.
Yeah, the Reds are kind of scary. We heard that from J.P. Hornstra today. The one team the Dodgers don't want to see, the Cincinnati Reds. And it's interesting. We'll let you go with this thought, Melissa. But, you know, he said, well, we kind of hope to see the Giants because we know more about them. I'd be careful what you wish for. I really would. The Giants have all the lefties in the world, and they can throw them all out there. And who knows, in a three-game series, what could happen? And so that'd be interesting. But we've got a good month ahead. I thank you so much for coming on, as always. You always give a good perspective on all these young players. And how many years is it for you now in the business?
Since 2004, so I guess 16 now.
Wow,
fantastic.
Yeah, we're not even going to give you an award. We're going to put you right on the teaching staff.
Right.
Put a professor on her name, Marty.
Yeah, you're
professor.
Right. Professor Melissa Lockhart on
the
minor leagues. Thanks so much.
Safe,
have
Melissa.
A good day, and we'll catch up with you. Thanks, Melissa.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, that's Melissa Lockhart of The Athletic. Yeah, we got to give her an award, huh, Bill?
Oh, my goodness. She was sharp, no doubt about it. Boy, she was flirting with all those names. Wow, wow, boom, boom. That's what's great.
Ready.
I love listening to stuff like that.
Yeah, well, the next award, maybe Adam Copeland. We'll have to find out a little bit more from him today.
That's a good one. Well, I think the big one's coming up with Bruce Jenkins. You know, we got to put a big old
He's
trophy
president
on
of the
desk.
University.
there you go.
Really.